Can you describe cormorants for those who aren't familiar with these birds? And are they a native species?
So these are what they call double-crested cormorants. They have, at certain times of the year, crests that come out of either side of their head, hence the name. These are birds that are native to North America, but people didn't see them for a long time because they have been affected twice by catastrophic events. The first event, maybe 100, 150 years ago, was just persecution of the birds. So they were killed in huge numbers. If you look back in some of the literature, boats coming out of Sandusky Bay, for example, it talks about boatloads of cormorants, you know, spilling out over the boats. And these are birds that are just killed because people didn't like them, because they felt like they were competing with them. And then as the birds began to recover, when they received some protection, DDT hit them, and they were driven down to some 150 to 200 pairs in this region. And so they were close to extirpation in this area. And so the recovery of these birds is just an amazing environmental success, that we've actually protected the birds and they've managed to come back from, you know, 150 to 200 pairs to a numbers of thousands of birds that are now nesting in Lake Ontario and Lake Erie and Northern Lakes and all over Ontario, really.
So what is the current controversy with them?
The current controversy is the same controversy that has plagued them for their entire existence. They're fish-eating birds, and so people who fish see them as competition, that they take the desirable fish that human beings want to eat, and therefore they are a competition on the waters for in terms of commercial fishing, and indeed in terms of the also the individual fishermen. They're also disliked, and I would argue hated, because when they take over islands and peninsulas, they sit in the tall trees, and their guano destroys parts of the trees, and they also pull twigs and leaves off the trees for their nests. And so ultimately, an island that people consider to be beautiful, full of trees, green, you know, lots of bushes and shrubs, tends to look quite a bit different after there's been a cormorant colony there for some time. And if you look at a place like Middle Island or High Bluff Island in Lake Ontario and Middle Island in Lake Erie, the tall trees are pretty much dead. But when you actually look at the ground and what the island actually looks like, it's actually quite green. And because of the high nutrients from the guano, what the cormorants actually do is take places that are really deficient in nutrients, and they lay down the guano. They die, some of them, and their bodies are there's nutrition from their decaying bodies. And so they build up nutrition on these islands so that when the colony leaves the island again once again becomes a place where trees can grow and look different. But it's their importance is that they add nutrition to what would otherwise be a nutrition deficient environment.
Thank you. Can you explain what is happening regarding the new provincial government proposal and why it's not okay, basically?
Well, I think it wouldn't be extreme to say that it's really an extermination bill. Mm-hmm. This is a bill that allows anybody who holds a small game permit to actually shoot cormorants from mid-March to the end of December. Now, cormorants are usually not around in November and December, and they're off their nest, but they can shoot these birds for their entire nesting season and the remainder of the season where the cormorants gather and then fly south. So you see them in great long lines across Lake Ontario and Lake Erie, and people can sit, if they have a small game permit, can sit in a boat and just shoot them. They can shoot them on their nests when they're breeding. when they're trying to raise their young, and one person with a permit could kill 50 birds a day. And so if you add all of that up, we're talking about some 13 or 14,000 birds per hunter per year. And I've yet to, I'm just going to look up the number of small game permits that exist in Ontario, but essentially it wouldn't take much, 10, 12 people sitting around a place like Middle Island, where there's some 3,000 nesting pairs, and within a few days, completely destroy the colony. And so that's
shocking. Wow.
Yeah, it's horribly shocking. And above and beyond that, what has always, you know, I'm not into hunting, but you know, if most people who consider themselves ethical hunters will not waste the animals that they shoot. But because cormorants are like seals, they're inedible because they eat fish, the act is going to be amended to allow people to just shoot them and leave them.
Because they're not technically a game animal then, I guess.
Well, they're redefining it as a game animal so that they can treat them in the way that other game animals and birds are treated. And the interesting thing, though, Catherine, is that cormorants are migratory birds. So technically, they should be not provincially managed, but they should technically be managed at the federal level under the Migratory Bird Convention Act. It's an agreement with Canada, the United States, and Mexico. Cormorants were left off that list for the very reasons that we're seeing the persecution today. Fishermen didn't want them on. They didn't want them protected. And so they are not considered a migratory bird. So I think one of the things that we need to do is to figure out how we can actually get them listed as a migratory bird so they at least receive federal and, in fact, international protection.
It's really interesting because when I was doing a bit of research on these birds to interview you today, I found a lot of things talking about or using the terms cormorant management or cormorant control. And management or control is of a species is actually a way of using sanitized language to essentially describe mass killing. And I was just wondering how you feel about this in terms of the public not really understanding or not having a sense of what's going on because language is being used to essentially sanitize a problem. It's amazing how many people don't even know what the word cull means.
Right. And I think they've sanitized it even from cull by calling it, this is cormorant management. Right. In fact, it's an extermination program. We're talking about people who want to get rid of these birds. And in fact, there's, you know, in the United States, some states have a program to eradicate cormorants from the state. So this, I would argue, kind of mirrors those intentions, even though it's couched in language about, you know, they're going to monitor the situation, they're going to manage it. But the fact of the matter is, we know that these birds are highly vulnerable to depletion and to endangerment, having been driven there twice before. So to put this kind of cull mass killing program into place ignores the history, ignores the actual biology of these birds, ignores the science around these birds, ignores all the studies about their stomach contents, what fish they eat, ignores all their contribution to these fantastic island environments. I've had great pleasure at being able to go out and look at these colonies, go and sit for days monitoring the colonies during culls, being able to go onto the islands and study these birds. And in fact, we had a shark, which is showing respect and kindness to animals, that group come, and they had a drone footage of the cormorant colony, this spectacular spectacular view of these birds in their nest, you know, the males and the females winding their necks together and taking care of their young. It was just stunning. And, you know, we people take all kinds of ecotourism all over the world to see these large collections of birds. And what do we do in Ontario? What do we do in Canada? We demonize them and we decide to shoot them in mass numbers.
When I was interviewing Dr. Marino about dissection, this exact topic came up, just how we have this hierarchy of animals in our minds. And it's so random and bizarre how, you know, it varies from country to country, what animals we value and what animals we don't.
Exactly.
I just wanted to ask you, how does culling cormorants affect other species and the environment?
Well, if you spend any time around cormorant colonies, you'll notice that other birds preferentially nest with cormorants. And I think part of the reason is that if you have a large cormorant colony somewhere, it's indicative that you have a healthy fish population in the lake. So in fact, commercial fishermen and other types of fishermen should rejoice at the fact that cormorants are there, because it indicates that there's lots of fish, that the lake is healthy, and that cormorants are eating fish that in fact fishermen don't want, like alewives and round gobies. But what you see is great blue herons nesting right next to a bunch of cormorant nests. You see black-crowned night herons nesting just below the cormorant and great blue heron nest. There's all kinds of terns. And in fact, on the western basin, Lake Erie, and some of the islands there, white pelicans, which are an endangered species, are actually looking to nest on the ground on these islands. So, you know, shooting a cormorant means that you're probably, if you shoot into a colony like that, you're probably going to shoot other birds that coexist with cormorants. And they are on the migratory bird list. And so there are rules and regulations about shooting those. But the question is anybody going to do anything about it?
Can you speak a bit about culling as a way of scapegoating onto one particular species, the general problem of climate change and other environmental problems like air pollution, habitat destruction?
Well, I think what we're seeing is human beings see animals as competing with their space, as opposed to seeing them as an integral part to a healthy environment. And so, you know, we work extensively on human-wildlife conflict issues that involve humans that come into conflict with animals because they don't agree that they're there, or they don't like what they do, or they don't like what they look like. And so cormorants fit neatly into that package. People look, you know, they're on their lake, you know, in around Huntsville, and they look out over the lake and there's a little island there, and you know, there are cormorants sitting on those trees and destroying the trees, and that can't be allowed. Even though cormorants only occupy 1% of all the available islands in the Great Lakes, 1%.
Wow.
We cannot tolerate them on that 1%. And, you know, the area that we've worked at is most recently is Parks Canada. For 10 years has shot cormorants on Middle Island on the assumption that they are destroying the island and impacting other species. And they've shot in 10 years 20,000 birds.
And there's just no scientific evidence proving anything like that. And what you're telling me is it's essentially the opposite, actually. They're helping environmentally.
It depends. You see, it all depends. What we argue that Parks Canada is doing, and Ontario Parks did before, is wanting an island to look a particular way, gardening, not allowing it to evolve in the environment as it should. As had cormorants been around for the last 200 years, as opposed to being driven to near extinction, these islands would not be the way they look now. And so, you know, we have humans tend to have short memories. So, you know, we remember that this island has always had trees. That's because cormorants, you know, were not there. And so ultimately, we want the island to look a particular way. We don't want the trees to die. We don't want the kind of what cormorant activity does, what it makes an island or a peninsula look like. And so we tend to say, okay, well, we're going to have to do something about it. We deal the same with deer. deer eating all the undergrowth. The trilliums are only 4 inches, not 6 inches. You know, they're having a terrible impact on the environment. They're destroying our woodlots. These are, you know, during a time when we have development all around parks and all sorts of other things going on. But we lay the blame on species that, for whatever reason, we don't like, we don't want there, we see as competition.
It's also the same thing that's going on with the seals out west, isn't it? In terms of the southern resident orcas, and the seals are the culprit now. And the solution is, you know, culling seals.
Can't have seals eating fish because we have to eat fish. So, you know, we don't, I would say the broader population, sadly, does not understand, or, you know, has not, governments have not educated them to enjoy, celebrate, encourage, be part of an ecosystem that is deeply rich and complex. And instead of that, we want to have an environment where we can garden and nobody comes to eat our tulips, or, you know, look at trees where no birds are sitting in them, or, you know, when we deal with down in Chatham, they don't like the crows in the trees at certain times of the year because there are too many of them and they're noisy. You know, we go through all of these situations, and if we culled everything that everybody complained about or didn't want, we would have a pretty devoid environment.
And it's so fascinating that people tend to be more concerned with the aesthetic element than environmental.
And yet, you know, Catherine, are people who love and adore wildlife. We work with those people all the time. We have the largest cormorant colony in North America at Tommy Thompson Park in downtown Toronto. I mean, it is mind-boggling that it has developed into such a rich, diverse, fantastic ecosystem that you can get on your bike and puddle on down and see the largest cormorant colony in North America.
And are those birds protected, Liz, because they're in the city?
Well, they're on Tommy Thompson Park land, which is the Toronto Region and Conservation Authority predominantly, although the provincial government, I think, does own some of that land. Yes, they would be protected from the point of view of what the Toronto and Region Conservation Authority decides they're going to do about this particular bill that the provincial government is trying to pass. But in addition, you can't discharge firearms in urban environments. And so the question becomes then, how far out in the lake can a boat sit and shoot cormorants as they go back and forth from Tommy Thompson Park out to fish and bring food back to their young? That's the big question. We don't know the answer to that. And, you know, we're still exploring some of the details to find out what are the limitations that are going to be put on this bill. Doesn't look like there are many at this point.
So actually, this could actually be a human safety issue as well if people just start shooting.
Well, you can think about it. All of a sudden, we have people who can take guns for 10 months of the year, go to any lake, get in a boat, and go and shoot cormorants. That's all
very safe.
That's all spring, all summer, all fall, when cottagers are around, when people are canoeing up and down the lakes, when people are, you know, water skiing and everything else. All of this activity can occur in cottage country and in other places. So yes, it's very unsafe.
It's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yep.
Is there a simple action a person could take to help stop, or a person can take to help stop the cull? What would you recommend? What can we do?
There are two possibilities right now. The first is that the government has posted the proposals on the Environmental Bill of Rights, the Environmental Registry. And so we would encourage people to go there and simply put their opinion down, hopefully in opposition. But the second thing is that is a tool that the government uses to say that they consult and then they go off and do whatever they want. They rarely change anything on the Environmental Registry. Once it's posted, it's pretty much legislation. So what we're asking people also to do is to write to Doug Ford and just tell him that they're completely opposed to what's happening. If you go to our website, animalalliance.ca, the cormorant issue will come right up. There's a whole summary of what to do, who to contact, and talking points for letters and stuff that you can put in. So you can change up your letter and talk about some stuff in some letters and other stuff in other letters.
Liz, thank you so much for giving us all of this information today.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for your interest.